So today we have some interesting things to talk about and some interesting things to announce where we're going to be, what's going on. We hope you can be a part of it. Stay tuned. Welcome to All Things Apostolic here on this August the 4th, Monday morning. We are glad that you're with us, and we trust that you had a great day yesterday in the house of God. We did also. God blessed. We had a great service. I preached in the morning, and our youth pastor, Boston Young, preached last night at the Jubilee service. Once a month on the first Sunday of the month, first Sunday night, we have Jubilee service. It's always a special time. And on top of that, it is also the time that we all faithfully made commitments, willing, just like he preached last night, willingly made commitments, gladly made commitments, joyfully made commitments financially, because about 27, 28 months ago, I don't know, something like that, we all decided by the grace of God, and I think a special move of the Holy Ghost, that we were going to pay off the church in 2 years. And remaining debt on the church was $5.3 million. And as of yesterday, I don't know what came in yesterday, but just before yesterday, we were down to around $900,000, so under $1 million. So great progress has been made there. We want to use our funds for things more productive than just maintaining home base. So if we get home base paid off, we move forward. So a lot of good things are happening, and I trust that good things are happening with you also. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That's how we start every day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Whatever else you think about, whatever else is going on this day, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And so this is how we start it. And then secondly, we enter into his gates. You got to enter into his gates. We enter into his presence, his temple, so to speak. We enter into his gates, his city, with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. So that's another good starter on how we do our day. So it is a good day. We may have challenges today. You may have challenges today, but it's still a good day. And we thank God for that. So this week, I was just reviewing my calendar about August. And this week, I'm kind of excited. I'm always excited when I see growing churches that want to even grow more. The church can't get too big until the whole world's saved, and then we'll go into maintenance mode. Until then, we're in evangelist mode. And status quo, I just appalls me sometimes to know that 20 years later, our churches are no larger than they were 20 years ago. And that is a discussion that makes people nervous, but needs to be had. It needs to be confronted, because it's not necessary. That's not how God intends for our local churches to be. So this week we are going to a very strong apostolic church in Tucson, Arizona. It's called Connor's Boot Camp. And Pastor Connor there, Pastor Paul Connor, is done an incredible job as pastor. It's a outstanding church, vibrant, people receiving the Holy Ghost, good things happening. And Connor's Boot Camp is a 2 or 2.5 day, whatever, leadership meeting. And it's got a different kind of schedule. It's kind of interesting. Begins on Friday. And then I am speaking at from like 7:45 till 9:45. It's not just a preaching session. It's a teaching. It's a whatever session. Fill the time session with something that's worth filling the time. And then they have a little break. And I think they have some refreshments. And then they have another session at 10:30, boot camp, you know. So, and then they start the next morning. My time the next morning, I think, is 10 o'clock or something like that. So, and then we'll be there Sunday. So this church, it's the church with the most spectacular view of any church when you're looking to the pulpit, because the back, whole back wall behind the pulpit is glass. And when you look out, you see the beautiful, beautiful mountains. And it's kind of, it's not just subdivisions back there. It's kind of like in its natural state. And it's beautiful. You have to preach good because the birds are flying by, and the foxes are running by, and whatever. So, there could be some distractions, but they're used to it, and it's a great place. So we will be there Friday night. We'll be speaking, and any of you in that area that can come would love to see you. And then we'll be there Saturday morning. And then if you're on vacation or something from your local church, you might as well just stay there and be there on Sunday. If you're not on vacation, then you need to be back home with your own local church. So that's going to be a great time. I just saw the stats on a church really concern me. This is their third or fourth pastor, maybe third, whatever. But so probably, I don't have the data exactly in front of me, but it's probably 20 years ago, the pastor pulled up. It's a new pastor. He's one of our guys. They had 109 voting members. This was 20 years ago. Well, if they got 109 voting members, they're probably over 200 in attendance. Maybe 107, I don't know, whatever, but it would be more than 109, obviously. And so then he had another one where about 10 or 12 years ago, it shows that they had another vote and they had 69 voting members. So what do you think about, I don't even know who all's pastored that church, but what do you think about that? What do you think about the fact that, and the pastor was very adamant, the pastor between the 109 and the 67, he was very adamant, very authoritarian, very decisive, that he knew what to do. And yet it goes from 109 voting members, which probably would be 180 in service, to 67 voting members, which probably would be 100 maybe in church, 105, 10. So after all those years, and after posing as knowing what a leader should do, the results were like 40% less. Then you go, and I don't know who the pastor was here in this section, but you go another 8 or 10 years till the next vote, and there was like 47. So it's like 106, 67, 47. There's 47 voters, which the church means is probably running, I don't know, 65, 70. So this is not a condemnation. Everybody gets so defensive when you talk about these things. It's just that to not ask whether there's a better way to do this, or whether there's things that could be learned so that churches could grow even through transitions, another whole subject right there. And if it's not, then why not? How could it be that it goes 106 voters, then 67 voters, then 47 voters? Now, and during that time, that 20-year, 25-year span, whatever it was, only the most that ever received the Holy Ghost in 1 year was 16. 16 people received the Holy Ghost in 1 year. That was the most, the pastor told me, that was on record. It was 16. So he's been there about 6 or 7 months. They've had 10 get the Holy Ghost. They've had 8 baptized. During that time, the most visitors they had was just a very, very small number. He's already had 161 visitors. And maybe the second time visits, maybe more than that. So you can see what I'm saying here. So the pastors before were just men, and the pastor there now is just a man. But what's the difference in the men? Is a present pastor a better preacher than they were? I don't know. I've never heard all of them preach. Present pastor is a good preacher, but I don't know what the other gentlemen were. Is he just less lazy? Is he a better people person? Or does maybe there's some spiritual revelations that go along with successfully pastoring? And he knows at least some of those. And he is operating within the context of revelation rather than the context of just something that he heard or picked up while he's evangelizing or whatever. So those are good questions. You can go across America and you'll find churches that have not grown for decades. Very little. Some of them are smaller. Numbers of them are smaller than they were before. Tonight, at 8 o'clock Central Time, which is 6 p.m. my time, I am doing a session. I was asked to do a session with all of the ministers that would like to join us that are 40 and under, that are members of the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship. Now, I didn't put this together. The Youth Council of the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship put this together, and they asked if I would be willing to address all of the young ministers. It's on a Zoom. They'll be from all over America, and some of them probably outside of America. It's on a Zoom, and they can ask any question they want to, and we will take those questions, and we will discuss them. Also, that's 6 o'clock Pacific time, California time, West Coast time. That's 8 o'clock Central time. So wherever you are, if you're hearing me, you can adjust to, you'll know what time it is where you live. We're going to talk about some things that I don't think I've heard anybody talk about, some things regarding the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship. What is the difference in the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship? Why do people continue to join at a pretty good clip the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship? What is the attraction to that? And we'll talk about some of the dangers that also are there. What are some of the theological and philosophical underpinnings of the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship? Most people know what the theological underpinnings of the WPF are, but many people do not know very much about the philosophy of governance that is behind. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about big stuff. We're going to talk about why we have an aversion to talking about big stuff. We're going to talk about why we have an aversion to talk about big stuff. And the importance of us being able as a group to overcome that, not only the Worldwide Pentecostal Fellowship, anybody. But now I don't know if you can get on this. If you're not in the WPF, I don't know what the Zoom code is. I'll just have to punch it when I get there. But it's going to be interesting. These are all younger guys, and they're aggressive. And these younger guys are having revival in their churches. A good number of them, I would say most of them, are having revival in those. So what have they picked up? Are they smarter than their generation before them, us older guys? I don't think so. Are there things that the Holy Ghost will reveal to us that they have experienced or that they have tapped into at least a little bit until they realize there's something here I need to get a hold of? And so if you're welcome to join us and figure out how to do that, we certainly want you to join us. If you're not in the WPF, this is not a ploy to get you in the WPF. It's just that they're the ones that put it together, and they may not even know what your email address is, so they probably don't. So I don't know how you could get it to them. But anyway, that's tonight at 6 o'clock West Coast time. I think it's going to be a great time. I put together a whole list of things to talk about, and we'll see how many of them we get to. And we'll see, we're going to talk about the why that some people are effective, and after you've been preaching 10 years or 20 years or whatever, you've got a track record. So people can look at the track record and see if you've been effective. Now, they may be nice and not tell you to your face, you haven't been very effective. But the tree, you can see how much fruit it's borne each year and how much got to the packing house where they pack it for it to get to the people. You can see how the fruit of the local church ministry that a person pastors and the followers, and you can see how much fruit that has produced through the year. How good a tree is that? So we know that the master looks at stuff through this kind of eyes. He has there's a business side to Jesus, and he expects a return when he gives gifts to people. And if there's not a return, then it's going to be Katie bar the door for you. So anyway, we hope you can be a part of it. All right, God bless you. Thank you for being with us. We will see you next time around.